Hi there guys, Chris Vint here from WrestleShock. Me and my tag team partner, Mike Lacey, we do stuff pertaining to wrestling, whether it be discussions on the top 10 wrestlers of all time, the top 20 tag teams, whether it be WrestleMania 28, whatever we feel that we were going to talk about in wrestling, we just sit down and talk about it. Of course, we want your input as well. So why don't you head over to OperationRetroShock.podbean.com, search for Operation RetroShock on iTunes. Don't worry, it's on that feed, so you'll find WrestleShock there. Download it, listen to it, and if you have any items you'd like us to go over, email me at vinto316@gmail.com. We hope that we don't hit you around too much, you know, we're a friendly tag team, help up in the ring with us and let us know your thoughts on the world of professional wrestling. Thanks for listening and ding ding.
Hey gang, your old buddy Duvall here with an announcement from the Crazy Kings of Toys at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Summer may be just around the corner, but first of all, the new graduates want to toss their caps up in the air and dads want to celebrate their day now that mom's got their chance. Starting now and continuing until June 30th at 11:59 p.m., the Crazy Kings of Toys are having a dads and grads sale. That's right, spend $20.12 to $40.23 and get $5 off your purchase. Spend $40.24 to $60.35 and get $10 off your purchase. By spending $60.36 to $80.47, you get $15 off your purchase. Spend $80.48 up to $100.59 and get $20 off your purchase. Spend $100.60 to $120.71 and you get $25 off that purchase. Spend $120.72 up to $140.83 and get $30 off your purchase. Spend $140.84 to $160.95 and get $35 off the purchase. Spend $160.96 to $181.07 and get $40 off your purchase, as well as an upgrade on shipping from parcel post to priority. And by spending $181.08 and up, you get $45 off your purchase, as well as free domestic shipping, applies solely to USPS parcel post and UPS ground shipments. Choose for your dads or those awesome grads from the Crazy Kings' wide selection of Masters of the Universe Classics, Monster High, DC, Doctor Who, Marvel, Transformers, and so much more. And don't forget to sign up for the free newsletter where you'll receive a free 10% off coupon off any upcoming order. So there you go, gang. Check out the Crazy Kings of Toys at www.crazykingsoftoys.com and find out why they're so crazy.
The Toy Bar is open for another week of Toy Talk, so pull up a stool, grab a drink, and listen to Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys. And now, here are your hosts, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper.
That was the whole thing with the crazy packing thing, is it was like, okay, well, I want to try to review that set. Okay, well, I need my this, and I need my that. It's like, if you're going to do it, don't you need your computer? You need the cord that connects the camera to... You should probably bring the tripod. Fuck.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Dave and Duvall's Toy
World. Oh, you son of a bitch.
Right here on ToyWorldOrder.com, brought to you every week by the Crazy Kings of Toys at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Duvall. You bitch.
I hit record and I'm just going to let Dave talk for a minute and see what happens.
Bitch. I noticed you waited until after you talked about your unnatural lust for pony mermaids.
No. We covered this on Married to the Collection.
One might be worth listening to because I can only imagine the disgust and disappointment in your wife's.
No. She thought they were adorable too. She's like, those are the cutest things I've ever seen. We talked about these, and we talked about my very odd toy dreams that I've had since that rummage sale a week ago.
Yeah.
Where, and I talk about it in length, but I'll give you an idea of it. My dream was. Carrie and I went on the 127, and we stopped at a house, and we walked up, and it was the first one in the morning, and we walked up, and this guy was putting stuff out, and one of the first things I saw behind several boxes of stuff was a boxed Eternia playset.
Wow.
Okay. So I was like, ooh, you know, I looked at Carrie, and I was like, you know, I was like, okay, calm down. Hold your excitement. Don't show how excited you are. So I walked up to the guy, and I said, you know, hey, is this all there? And the guy was like, in my dream, the guy was like, yeah, yeah, it's all there, you know. I think it's missing one or two pieces. I'm like, well, is the track and everything here? He's like, yeah, it's all really good. Yeah, we took it out, played with it once, and I took it apart, and the kids never wanted to play with it again. So we just put it in the attic. And I'm like, how much you want for it? And he's like, I don't know, $20. I'm like, yeah, I'll give you $20. Yeah, sure. But do you have anything else of this style? I'm like, he's like, well, I got a bunch of stuff I haven't put out yet. Like, oh, cool, you know, we'll wait around. He's like, well, it's going to take a while. You just want to come look at it. I'm like, yeah, sure. So he takes Carrie and I in the house while his wife is out there. And mind you, this is all in my dream.
Yeah, this is very specific.
I remember my dreams very vividly.
But I mean, like, in terms of storytelling, it's very unusually specific. You know, like, there's not like a zebra
Never
clowns
is.
Clowns or.
Never is in my dreams. It's always, like, dead on. Realistic for Weird. Some reason. So we walk into this guy's house, and we walk downstairs in the basement, and in this room in the basement, there are 32 totes. Big totes. Okay. Like, big, long totes. 32 of them. Stacked floor to ceiling. And I'm like, are all these toys? And he's like, these are all of my boy's action figures. And I'm like, well, how old are they? And he's like, well, they're in their late 30s now, and, you know, this stuff's just been sitting here, and we want to clear it out, and it's just time. The boys don't want it, you know, their kids don't want it, so... You know, just time for Grandma and Grandpa to clear it out. I'm like, oh, cool. And I start, you know, I open a few lids and poke through and look around the room. Like, I see bits and pieces of, like, the USS flag playset. And, like, one of the totes has pieces of the terror drome. And I'm like, how much do you want for all of this in this room? And he's like, all of it? I'm like, all of it. I'm like, I will take all of it off your hands right now. I'm like, how much do you want for all of it? And he goes, I don't know, offer me a price. I'm like, how about $200? And he's like, you know, 300. I'm like, how about 250? And he's like, all right, 250. I'm like, sold. So Carrie and I buy 32 totes and everything that was in this room toy-wise, which is like a USS flag playset and a full pterodrome and hundreds of Joes, tons of Masters of the Universe, tons of Transformers, just like all the action figures of the 80s that you could ever imagine that kids would have had massive amounts of were in these totes. And, of course, we drove the little car. So we're like unloading 32 totes of toys in the trunk, and it's like, well, that was the first stop of the day. We've come 5 hours for this. You know, it's like we have no room for anything else. Yay. It was a pretty vivid dream, though, and it made me – that dream melded into another one where I got a phone call or an email actually telling me that rummage sale that we went to last weekend was still open for some reason this weekend. And I woke up – this was just this Sunday morning. I woke up out of dead sleep thinking – what time is it? I have to go to that yard. I have to go to the rummage sale. I gotta see what they brought. Oh, wait. No, that was a dream. Damn it. Like, they were both dreams. Son of a bitch!
I thought you were going to say you got home and you open up all those totes and they're all just filled with Lord Dredd.
No! That would be funny. I gave Dave a Lord Dredd from Captain Power.
You gave me a bunch of Captain Power stuff. I did. You had extras of, which is cool.
I did. And then as I finally went to film my flea market finds this week, I realized my Lieutenant Tank Ellis doesn't have a visor.
I was like,
I gave Dave the one with the visor, son of a bitch!
I'll give it back to you.
No, you can keep it.
Dude.
I'll find another one with a visor. I was like, God damn it! But I gave Dave a Lord Dredd. And I had one on the shelf. I have one mitten package.
In the card, yeah.
I had one out of the stuff that I bought at the rummage sale. And then as I was filming that stuff, there's a Phantom Striker box from Captain Power under the toy bar downstairs. So I pulled it out and went to go through it. Lo and behold, there's a complete figure in there. Guess who the fuck it is?
Lord Dredd.
I'm like, I had four of these sons of bitches all complete. I'm like, son of a bitch.
It happens, man.
I'm like, oh my God.
You collect long enough and all of a sudden you start to go through it and organize and you realize that, you know, you bought something here, and then a year later, you got it there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, something gets put away somewhere, and you forget you have it.
I know, it's very sad. I was like, well, this is a sad day for me. I hope the wife never finds out. She will be pissed. And then I finished off my... Well, I didn't finish off. I'm still missing a piece, but I got the back door to the command center.
Yeah, I saw that.
For a whole whopping $397, I think, plus free shipping.
Ain't not bad. Oh, free shipping ain't not bad at all.
Right?
And that's all he needs, a hose.
All I need is that hose, and I'm waiting. Like, if I don't fit, one doesn't... Like, it's all about patience and persistence, which I keep telling people. It's all about patience and persistence, damn it. I'm hoping one will pop up for a decent amount of money that I don't have to spend, you know, $12 plus shipping on.
Yeah.
A little rubber hose. So, but that's the last part I need. That's it.
See, my thing is, especially in that situation, like, you spent so little on everything else, man. Like, why not finish it off? Like,
because I know my luck that once I buy it, 2 days later, that piece will show up. No one will bid on it, and it'll no one will bid on it, and it will, you know, it will end. No one have won it, and it'll be like 50 cents. I'll be like, son of a bitch.
I don't know.
I lost a couple of interesting auctions this week that I was very upset about.
Did you?
Did
you indeed?
Fucking sniper programs piss me the hell off, man. No. It's like, come on, really?
I just hate that they. I hate the whole. I almost think they should like. Lock you out at certain points. Like, you have to bid on something, and then, like, only people who bid on it can, like, continue to bid in the last 2 minutes.
That would be wonderful. Actually, I forgot about this one because it was Saturday morning. I completely forgot about it. There was a Teddy Ruxpin picture show, mint in box, never been open.
Okay.
Nobody bid on the son of a bitch. Starting bid was 59 cents. It was $17 shipping. I was like, are you kidding me? I could have got that for 18 bucks. Total. Like, shipping and everything. Missed it. Let it go. It ended. Nobody bought it.
Oh, of course. See, the ones that you don't bid on, nobody bids on.
I was like, God damn it.
The one that you do, it's like all of a sudden people fight over it like dogs over the last
bone.
And then
there was a Stariars lot that had a couple of figures in it. But the thing is it had everything to the fucking battle station. It had all the pieces and the battle station. I'm like, I don't have any of the pieces. Like, I've got the Scorpion, but he doesn't have his pinchers. I don't have any of the guns for it. I don't have any of the platforms that went with it. I don't have any, you know, the piece that went inside. None of that shit. And this had everything. And I was like, okay, well, I waited till like the last 2 minutes, bid on it, and then a damn sniper program bid it up to $29. I was like, God damn it! And the shipping on that was free.
Well, be patient and persistent, and it will come around again.
I just was upset. I was like, son of a bitch!
I'm sure.
Like,
it will.
I hate you, stupid sniper programs. That's how I keep losing out on my Inspector Gadget figures.
I know. That's how I keep losing that one chair.
It's
which I don't even think has shown up since the last time I took a shot at it.
So frustrating.
So
it makes me curse eBay every time. I'm like, I hate you, eBay.
I know. I'm always like, oh, hey, they've got that. Oh, it's an auction.
Yeah. It's like, oh, son of a bitch. I know. I was very, very pissed. I was like, this is horrible.
So, like, okay.
What?
I was going to ask, I thought we were segueing into news type stuff.
We are. Kind of. Sort of.
Been a long day, man. For those of you who don't know, I'm heading down to JoeCon tomorrow.
That's right. You leave in the morning. So by the time people...
St. Lucia, Louisiana.
By the time people hear this, you will
I'll already be in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Well, the first day should be over, probably.
Because it starts Thursday?
Starts Thursday.
Yep.
So, like, going to get there and crash and, you know, hit the thing early.
Yeah.
So, Mark Bellomo, I'm so pissed. He's signing books Sunday, which is when I'm leaving.
Oh, really?
I was like, yeah.
Oh, that sucks. What time are you leaving Sunday?
Early.
Really?
I want to get home.
Yeah.
Got to get my dog out of Hawk.
Yeah,
on Monday.
True. Since it's in Hawk.
Yeah.
Joe from D&J Toys will be at a booth, so you might want to stop by and say hello to him while you're there.
We're hitting the retailer's hall.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! Me and my host Wheeler, we're gonna like build a house in that hall. Like we're apparently that's like the place we're gonna be.
That's funny.
So except for Saturday because there's like all the panels are like the Hasbro panel.
Oh, yeah!
And then the IDW he wants to go to that.
Yeah. So. Well, that'll be interesting. It'll be a good show.
Be interesting. Yeah, it'll be fun.
It's the first JoeCon you've been to.
First JoeCon I've been to, and hey, if there was ever a time to go. It's this year when there's like so much chaos and confusion. And
oh yeah,
everybody's gonna like I said, it's just gonna be awesome. Everybody's gonna be pissed off and surly, and that's where I shine.
Yeah, as I say, it's just it's gonna be just a ridiculous amount of.
Now it's Dave's time to shine.
Ugh, it's gonna be crazy.
Hasbro said Snake Eyes sucks.
Well, it's like today I heard. It didn't surprise me. I think there was something in the registration, but. The San Diego the Comic-Con security are going to randomly ID check people and match their badges to their IDs this year.
Oh my God. Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
But the problem is, I don't have a problem with that. They should have been doing that for years now because people, you think about how many people stand outside going, hey, you done with your badge? I'll buy it from you. And they just buy their badges.
and then they go off and do whatever they want to do. And it's like, well, that's not fair to the people who missed out because you guys are standing outside hawking, you know, trying to hawk your wares to get people's badges. But the problem is that anyone that knows Comic-Con security or the convention center security know, if anyone listens to this that works for them, I apologize, they're inept.
The word I would have used was fascist, but sure.
They are an inept and fascist group of people. They don't know what's going on.
They're dicks.
They have no idea what's going on. They don't know how to crowd control. They are not kept up to date or speed on, you know, all of the shit that's going on. You'll constantly be told one thing, and then a Comic-Con guy will come by and go, no, that's fine, it's fine. And these guys will get flustered and frustrated and getting more pissed off. And it's like, well, you know, Comic-Con, it's your fault for one, and security, it's your fault for two, for not going to somebody and go, hey, what's going on here? What are we doing? You know? It should be, it makes me kind of glad that I'm not going this year.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I would have my wallet with me anyway.
Right.
So it wouldn't be that much of a hassle, but I don't know, man. I'd maybe one of those times where I sort of get my little liberal dander up and go, hey, no, screw you.
Yeah.
This is America.
Yeah. No, thanks. Mezco finally revealed its summer exclusives. Not necessarily, didn't look like it's going to be just at Comic-Con, but looks like they're doing a Catwoman key ring, a little 2-inch Mezzet.
Yeah, I've seen that. Like, there's a Tumblr Mezzet out there, a little tiny Batman.
Yeah. They're doing a 6-inch Earthworm Jim figure in metallic.
Oh, hey. He's a thing.
Yeah, let's see. It's the 6-inch Earthworm Jim action figure feature 8 points of articulation. Plus, he comes complete with an alternate bendy, unsuited worm body as well.
That's weird, because I thought that was a Playmates property.
Well, you think that's years ago, though.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they lost that license, and
I guess I never realized that was a license. I always thought that was like a...
No, it was a license.
...thing that they had.
Yeah, it was a license. A metallic 6-inch Mezzet Wonder Woman, a Dark Knight Mezzet Mega Scale Batman, so it's a 300% Mezzet size.
I'm not big on the Mezzets.
I'm not either.
I mean, I like some of the, I like the Hasbro ones, but I'm not big on the Mezzets. They got weird proportions and...
Weird hands.
Look at that weird little skinny neck, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Living Dead Dolls Resurrection Series 6.
Okay.
Which I don't care. And then there's
people are interested in those, and they're legitimate. I'm just, but you know. Hey.
And then it looks like there was no information on it that I saw, but it looks like there's a Mum-Ra 2-pack
thing
from Mezco. Yeah, that features the decrepit Mum-Ra, and then of course Mum-Ra the All Powerful,
the ever living. Good Lord, how did you whiff that?
I liked All Powerful better.
How do you do All Powerful?
I don't know. It just sounds better to me. Mm. Just sounds like it.
This is why
be.
Thundercats fans give you hassle over the stupid sword.
Eh.
I was watching the cartoon and I realized where that whole thing comes from. Is there's two Sword of Omens. Yeah. I was not an expert. I was just watching the cartoon and I realized, it was like it came up that like Mum-Ra has the original and apparently the Thundercats have a copy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's wacky.
It's redonkulous. I'm
sorry, I thought that we were having a conversation.
Oh, we were. We are.
But let's talk about this thing instead.
Fair enough.
Oh. This is a Mezco again.
I'm trying to see if I can
find... under the table?
I'm trying to see if I can find information on the damn...
You catting around.
Glow in the Dark Mum-Ra 2-pack. $50.
And are those action figures? I mean, the decrepit one looks... No, but the other one looks like you might have
14-inch kind of... They've got... mild articulation in them.
I wonder what that means with the whole.
Well, if you've been to Toys R Us lately, you've probably seen the Mezco Mum-Ra on the
shelf.
Oh,
the giant one's Mezco.
That's Mezco.
I did not know that.
So it has some limited articulation.
Okay.
I don't think Bandai gives a shit. I'm just like,
well,
whatever.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I don't know. I'm so upset at Bandai. There's a Comic-Con exclusive Walking Dead figure from McFarlane.
Oh, wow! Neato! Oh, it's Michonne.
Yeah, but it's the same figure that's already been out. They just splattered
it. But it's Comic-Con exclusive!
And she comes with a cloak.
Oh,
and a drill.
A cloak and a drill. Wow. That'll get me to buy into that really overpriced line that's not in scale with anything else I own.
Yeah, I know. I saw that they're finally... Well, I'm sure they've been
out. They got them at Walmart, yeah.
Yeah, they finally started showing up at our Walmarts, and I'm like, oh, look at that.
Yeah, we do always have to preface it with our Walmart.
Yeah, like that didn't take forever.
Well, I actually saw the Avengers 6-inch figures again.
Yeah, I did too. I was like, oh wow. Apparently, people are like, yeah, we're done.
Yeah,
we're done. Which kind of sucks because, I'd like to have it. They showed Hot Toys is teasing an upcoming 1/6 scale Dark Knight Rises Batman figure.
Oh, okay. So we're going to be talking about the Joker, but
well, we are.
I mean, that's no shock that they're going to do Dark Knight Rises.
No, not at all. But the Joker's the one that I want. I want this Joker.
The Joker
really
looks cool.
Fucking bad.
The Joker looks very, very.
That's
cool.
Something that I looked at Cara the other day and I was like, I really would like to have this figure because he's got.
Oh, I'm not. Oh, I can't have a Batmobile, but you're getting to have a Joker. How come that? That's not fair.
Well, you know,
that's not fair.
The stuff he comes with, though, he's got two interchangeable head sculpts. One smiling and one non-smiling with the non-smiling face has the Piers eye system. 35 points of articulation in the upper body. Just detailed hair sculpts. 8 pairs of interchangeable gloved palms. 6 pieces of interchangeable gloved palms, including relaxed palms, holding posing palms, holding Joker card palms, of course his clothes. A machine gun, a shotgun, a pistol, 3 knives, a pair of handcuffs, a pencil.
That's for a magic trick.
Yep, we have 1 metal-like table with lamp and 1 chair. Joker cards, U.S. money, a deluxe light-up figure stand with copper-like feeling. The Joker 2.0 name base. Movie logo on the DX series title. Double-sided backdrop featuring the movie scenes. Special bonus accessories. 1 grumpy mask and 1 initiator. Which I'm not sure what the grumpy mask is.
Grumpy mask is the mask from the beginning.
Or not the grumpy mask, the initiator.
The initiator, yeah, that's what I was wondering about.
I was like, wait, what is that? And of course, there's no pictures of it.
Well, of course not.
That figures. That sucks. But, I mean, a very cool looking figure. If you haven't seen it, I mean, you can hit up any news site and they'll show it. And I think it's probably the best Heath Ledger Joker they've done today. Because the face is just dead on perfect.
Yeah.
Just amazing. Really wants me. I really want to buy it, but again, I think it's God. I don't know what the
price on it is. $230, $240. I think some places give you a little bit of a break.
$249.99 is the price for this,
and that's down from $274.
Yeah, big bad. Yeah. Like I said, I kind of want it, but
oh yeah.
I mean, the laughing face sculpt alone is just, look at that, it's amazing.
Oh, that is cool.
God,
that
damn
is
it.
Perfect.
Oh, look at that. I can't, $250, I can't do it.
Well, then you won't have one.
I know, it sucks.
Life sucks for you.
Ugh. I already have to pre-order the damn Soundwave. It's amazing.
Just be patient.
Yeah, you can't,
and I'm
sure
it'll show up at a yard sale.
Dude, if I ever came across a yard sale with somebody just selling off Hot Toys toys for $20 a pop, that would be a bigger find than finding vintage toys.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'd be like, are you fucking out of your mind? Are you going to pick up the G.I. Joe exclusive from Sideshow for San Diego?
From Sideshow?
Yeah.
No.
It is, I think it's Lieutenant
Falcon.
Oh,
yeah, it's Falcon.
Green Beret, Lieutenant Falcon.
He looks cool, but no.
Yeah, he looks all right.
And then I still gotta like talk to Jared about picking stuff up.
Yeah, should probably do that. It's 2 weeks.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I had a busy weekend.
True. I know they showed their Hot Toys exclusive, which is World War II Captain America in the he's got the helmet on and he's got the combat gear on. It's like all the leather and everything and. Comes with the
like the first mission,
yes,
Captain America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
But I would have happily bought a figure from Hasbro for him, but they didn't make one.
Of course not.
Because they suck.
Fucking Hasbro. Which apparently you were telling me about some kind of rumor going around.
There's a rumor apparently spreading around the toy forums. It hasn't hit the front pages yet that Hasbro is cutting back hard in 2013. Now, you told me that that some brand guy had been fired. Like the guy who really pushed for.
David Vonner, who was one of the guys and was one of the main forces for for the Marvel line, I mean, got canned at the beginning of the year along with like 400 people or something like that. Something ridiculous.
All right. Rumor is that Marvel Universe is done in 2013, and all lines are going to do reduced articulation. No more animated Clone Wars. No more 25th style Joes. Definitely no more vintage Star Wars. No word on Marvel Legends. Superhero figures would follow film-based and follow current toy film patterns. Star Wars would be totally movie heroes focused with plenty of repacks and the odd new figure, although it would include Build-A-Droid pieces.
I wonder just how much trouble Hasbro's in right now.
Probably a lot. Probably everybody's in trouble. The economy's shit. I mean, you know, and toys are a superfluous. I mean, it's cute to joke that, oh yeah, we need toys to survive, but they really, at the end of the day, are a superfluous purchase.
Right, right.
They don't do anything that, you know, they're not food, they're not clothing, they're not shelter.
Right.
They're not heat, you know, they don't power your car. You don't, if worse comes to worse, most people are going to cut out toys.
Right.
Now, they might not cut off toys. The thing is, if it's actually for a kid, apparently in recessions people will buy toys for their kids. But, like, as we've talked before, action figures are dying. You know, I mean, I still see parents and kids in the action figure aisles, but it is a dying thing.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, I mean, it is the video games.
Games and everything else going on. The computer, iPads, all that shit.
Yeah, it's a collector-oriented thing, and that, you know, I mean, stores just aren't ordering it. And that's what it... People can blame Hasbro for distribution all they want. What it boils down to is stores are not ordering the product.
Right.
I mean, you look at Marvel Legends. Like, Marvel Legends sold out the minute it hit stores.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really super quick. And nobody's ever gotten in another wave.
No.
And that you can't blame Hasbro for that.
No, not
you
at
can't.
All.
You can't. You know?
I guess even though it's a rumor right now, I guess we'll wait and see what Toy Fair brings.
Well, I think Comic-Con.
Comic-Con's a good...
Although, yeah. Oh, I forgot. It's Hasbro. Never mind.
Yeah.
So it was Mattel. Yeah, we could wait for Comic-Con.
Yeah.
But...
It'll be interesting this year. I'll BC Direct and Flynn will be at Comic-Con covering the toy panels and stuff, so it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of those and what's, you know...
Spoiler alert for Hasbro, nothing.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Here's Darth Malgus from our Star Wars vintage line. Although, I suspect to a lot of people in that panel, that would be the first time they'd seen one.
Yeah. The Hot Toys, the Captain America Rescue.
It looks cool. Dude, if I had hundreds of dollars to piss away on these things and just endless amount of shelf space.
True.
I would totally be all over Hot Toys.
True.
I love the ones I have. They're amazing. They're super cool.
Yeah.
It's one thing, it's like Legos. Like, I really wish I could just branch off and collect Legos.
Yeah.
As opposed to the odd one that I pick up here or there. I would love to be able to, like, be a Hot Toys kind of collector or a Sideshow, collector. I would have to cut everything else to be able to even...
Food, bills.
No, but I mean, like Star Wars, like the stuff that everything else I collect.
Right.
Would have to be cut right away.
Right.
Because there's no way that I could keep that up for, you know, more than, like, one or two figures.
True. I mean, there's, you know, like we've talked about before, there's guys out there buying nothing but Hot Toys figures. You know, it just boggles my mind. It's like, how can you afford that? That's like, they release at least five figures, maybe six a year, and it's like, you know, you start doing the math, and it's like it's a couple thousand dollars when you get down to the bare bones of it, depending on the pricing.
Yeah, six figures a year, I could probably... I mean, again, if I cut out, like, a lot of other stuff... You know, you could, like, budget, like, maybe $125 a month.
Yeah.
You could squeeze it in there if it was only, like, six. I thought it was more than that.
No, it might be more than
that. Sideshow has a lot. I know that.
Yeah, Sideshow has a ridiculous amount of figures. Just, you know, between Star Wars and the G.I. Joe stuff.
And just other various properties.
Yeah, all the other stuff they're releasing. Yeah, it's just, it keeps, you know, piling up, and it's like, holy hell.
I mean, in the back of my mind, I'm still like Bosk and the Baroness. They're out there somewhere, and the clock's ticking on them.
Yes.
You know?
You're like, I gotta find them.
It's not that I gotta find them, it's that they'll be announced, and then I gotta find the money.
Yeah. It's true. It's new Diamond Select stuff. Have you seen the Barbarian Hulk?
I saw the Barbarian Hulk.
It's kind of neat.
Yeah, I'm not even sure where he's supposed to be from.
Gene St. Jean sculpted him. That's it. I haven't seen that name in the world of toys for a while, unless I just haven't been paying attention.
Okay.
He's a legendary sculptor. He's been around for, God, 15, 20 years now. Yeah, I don't know what he's supposed to be from.
Because that's not...
Based on his recent look in the pages of Marvel's Incredible Hulk comics.
So, oh, okay. Well, that probably explains why.
Yeah.
Let me keep up with Hulk.
I don't read comics anymore. Apparently, the new Masters of the Universe comic is horrible.
Is it?
From what I hear, the artwork is...
You people just set me up constantly.
I know.
Set me up to,
I had to
set,
bring it
set
up,
me up to like start beef.
Apparently, the artwork is horrendous. The fucking story is piss poor. People are just furious about it. They're like, really? Is this a fucking April Fool's joke? What are we doing? One Direction 12-inch dolls? Hell yeah!
I don't even know what that is.
No. They're a hot band right now. I only know because Carrie loves their music.
Good God, I have no
idea. Well, she loves the one song that they've made.
All right.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't expect that. Real Action Heroes, Hush Joker, from Mediacom.
I've got the DC Direct one.
Yeah.
You know, I used to really love Jim Lee, but... I don't know if I like his take on Batman that much.
No?
It doesn't even look that accurate, frankly, for the Jim Lee one. Because he had a really weird face. Very distinctive. Joker?
Yeah, Joker had a very
distinctive face.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know, man. It's just, you know, the more...
Doctor Who.
We kind of talked about this. Carrie and I talked about this when we recorded, but it's just like... I know I keep saying it, but I just keep moving farther and farther away from new toys. It's like, I just don't care about the new... I mean, the new stuff's great. It looks beautiful, but, you know, again, you get down to the price point, I'm like, I want to go to flea markets. I don't want to spend all my money on new shit.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go find old shit.
Well, that had always... You know, I mean, I've talked about how that had always been sort of my plan, was once the... Once Hasbro's, like, latest run on Star Wars ended, ha ha ha,
yeah,
I was going to go back and start doing vintage.
Right. Of course, that hadn't happened yet.
Hadn't happened yet, but from the sound of it, we may be getting close.
Pretty close.
You know, I think one of the questions again this week is, you know, hey, if they did a different scale, it's like, hey.
I'd be done.
See ya.
Yeah. I'm sure there'd be the one or two random figures. There'd be that.
And it would depend on the packaging. Like, if they did it vintage style packaging, I'd get a 6-inch Han Solo just for the packaging.
Yeah,
you know, if it's anything but that, you know, I mean, I'd get Boss because I love Boss.
Right.
And maybe one or two other characters, but really, I wouldn't invest in it. It would not be the reverse of Marvel Legends, Marvel Universe. That was a special thing because at the time I didn't realize that Marvel Universe was. I mean, Marvel Universe was promised. And it never came, and it never came, and it never came, and I started getting Marvel Legends. I got into Marvel Legends, and then all of a sudden, it was like, oh, by the way, we are doing Marvel Universe. I was
like, yeah. It's like, here you go. They're finally out.
Yay! The scale that I want.
So, and then, of course, that, you know, rumor has it, that's ending, so.
Which, again, I'm not that heartbroken about, because there's probably... Maybe, I mean, oh, so long as I get Professor X out, and I can get, like, 5 of them for that suit body.
Oh, yeah.
Because the only figure beyond that, and I mostly want that for customs,
right?
Would be, I would love a Joe Fixit Hulk.
That'd be cool.
Love, but it's got to be like the suit can't be trashed.
Right.
They always make the suit trashed.
Right.
The Toy Biz, that's why I love that figure. It's one of my favorite figures.
Because he had a clean suit.
Because he's got the suit and it's not all wrecked.
Right. I showed you this earlier, but
yeah. You weren't secretly recording us at the time?
No. Takara is bringing out... people have seen this that went to BotCon and followed it, but I love it. The fact that they're doing CatBots, they're doing Capticon for Decepticon, and they're doing Captimus Prime.
That's a little cool. I don't think it would fit because I got a big head, but man, I would kind of love to have one of those. Well, they're only like $26. That ain't bad.
Yeah, they're really... Surprisingly, they're very affordable.
And those are Takara imports, aren't they?
Yes,
at this point.
Yeah, they are imports. As soon as this page loads. Come on, tfsource.com. Go, go, go. I think my internet is goofballish.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, nah, we're not going to load that. See, there it goes. Maybe.
No.
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 No, Mr. Jason. No.
Well, apparently they're not going to load it.
Really not. That's
It is page verboten.
That's a shame.
Well, it's a hat and it's a transformer and it turns into a transformer, but you can wear it like a hat.
Why no, but still.
I'm just, for the people at home who might be like checking their watch and going, oh wow, this is fascinating listening to them staring at a blank computer screen.
There's running commentary, damn it. It's always running commentary.
No one will be seated during the screen loading sequence.
Dude, that would be awesome.
The elderly with weak hearts and small children are advised to avoid the podcast at this intense and exciting moment.
Shit.
Oopsie. It's not available.
You.
No page for you.
Dude, it's my internet. This
no page for you.
But I want one really bad because I'm like, I'd wear that around town.
I know you would.
Like, I take it off. I transform it. I play with it. People are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm transforming my hat, motherfuckers.
Hell yeah. I'm surprised you don't have one down for the pre-order.
I thought about it, but I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
It wouldn't. I have a big head, so it wouldn't fit.
It wouldn't fit you at all.
It wouldn't fit. Well, especially if it's an actual transformer. No, it's not gonna have. It's not gonna have the give of a hat.
Yeah.
And hats don't give me a lot of give to begin with.
No.
So, it's what you know. Like part of it. Like I always wear that G.I. Joe hat. Part of that's because it fits.
Damn it! This is why I was trying to get it up before we start talking about it. They don't believe that these will be. We do not believe these to be the full size of a baseball cap, but a scaled down replica.
Oh. Well, then you can't wear it. You said you.
I know. I want to wear it.
You're,
it would be neat.
You're deceptive.
Oh well. Nah. Nice call. Deceptive. Nah.
Yeah, I know. I got it after I said it.
That's pretty fun.
Well, it was meant to be a slam.
Oh. That's not fair.
You got me all excited.
Sorry. Sorry, dude.
And you made me feel bad about my stupid old giant melon, and then...
You do have a big head.
Trust me. I've tried to buy hats.
You know, so you do have a rather large head. There's something else on tfsource.com. They made a Masterpiece Grimlock upgrade kit.
I've seen those upgrade kits before.
So it came with, like, the coffee cup and the crown, and then he came with the
little plane for him to chomp on.
Yes. Ugh. Come on now. How awesome would that have been?
That would be pretty awesome.
Damn it. I wish I'd have bought it.
Is it out of stock?
It is.
Oh, it is out of stock.
Yeah, it's out of stock. Oh, well. That's what I get for...
That's waiting. Old, though, I think. I mean,
yeah, it is. It's been out for a while. For a long while.
All right.
Oh, well. What do you do?
I don't know.
Good stuff, though. Yeah, I still got to go on and pre-order my Soundwave.
You still haven't done that?
No, I haven't done it.
Oh,
my
God.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a quick sneak preview of a couple weeks from now. Oh, it sold out and I didn't pre-order it. Now I'm screwed. Boo-hoo-hoo.
Probably.
You know you don't have to pay for it until it comes in, right?
I know.
All right.
I know. It's damn it.
Well, if you're gonna do it anyway,
I know. When Carrie gave me permission, she told me I can do it.
Oh, come on!
I know. I've just been.
What the hell is wrong with you?
I've been busy.
You got time to sit there at a blank screen in the middle of our show, but.
Oh, David.
Do it.
David.
Do it now.
No, I'm not gonna do it.
Do it now. What? Why not?
Because
you can talk and type at the same time. Good Lord, you do it all the time.
Well, I know, but still. Oh, crap.
Ah, you're chicken!
Oh, my God.
Carrie gave you permission.
I know.
Oh, my God. She never gives you permission.
I know, she doesn't. Damn it.
Spend money on...
Ugh. Oh,
jeez,
well.
You're crazy.
I'll do it tonight. Do it tonight. Damn it.
Madman.
Let's move on to fan questions. We've got quite a few questions.
We do have a few questions. Are we going to do the one that Oz did that's like a freaking
I'm going to go.
War
I'm gonna,
and Peace?
We'll discuss it a little bit.
Okay.
Well, it's not really a question more as it is a...
I don't know what it was. I glazed over after the second paragraph. and for the record, I'm one of those people that like... I hate that the internet makes people think... Like, one of the reasons I don't like Twitter is because it's like 100 blah, blah characters.
Right.
So I like that people... You know, I prefer to be able to express a full thought. Good Lord, Oz. Edit.
Oh, Oz, we love you.
We love you, but oh my God, there was eyes glazed.
All right, let's do some fan questions.
Fan questions,
Dave. Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Dun, 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 dun. Fan questions, Dave.
Fan questions.
Podcast good.
It's time to set the record straight. All right, Dave and Duvall. First of all, after we recorded that special episode, Duvall and I talked, and he basically told me that he told Dave to kind of curb my Mattel discussion. First of all, let me state this for the record. I could give two shits less about Mattel as a company. They are hands down the worst toy company in history when it comes to business practices. They have the worst fucking business practices ever. Dave had said off air before we recorded that special episode, I was like, yeah, I guess Mattel, we're not supposed to talk about that. I was like, okay, fine. I don't care. I think this is June, almost going on July now. I think from February to May, I've talked about Mattel once. In a rant video on my YouTube channel, May 9th, I'm done. I don't pay attention to the releases. I still watch Pixel Dan's reviews of the Master stuff because I still love the toys. I just hate the fucking company because the fucking company is a bunch of shit. They just have the worst business practices. That's my main complaint about Mattel. It has nothing to do with the product. It has to do with how they do business. They suck. I wasn't even going to rant about Mattel during that special episode that Dave and I did. All of that stuff that he's talking about me choking on the French bread pizza, that happened off air. So it wasn't like it was unprofessional of me, anyway. Alright, so questions for you guys this week.
Spare me this mockery of justice!
Yeah, I can't think of any questions this week. Everybody's pretty much asked you all the questions that can be asked, I think. They just word them differently. So, keep up the excellent work. Love the podcast. I will talk to you guys later.
Man, he's a sensitive guy.
Wow,
Mikey.
Oh, jeez. I mean, dude stuffed his face full of fresh bread pizza. That wasn't unprofessional. Okay, whatever.
Oh, Mikey.
Wow. Somebody's a little sensitive.
Yeah, it's
and, right. And I was just following orders, man. I was following your orders. You were like, don't let him.
Oh,
I want to go
shit.
Crazy about Mattel. I didn't know. I mean, I thought it was established. I listened to nothing. I'm disengaged. So,
good times.
I didn't know if, I'm sorry, Mike. As far as I knew, you spent every show you ever did, ranting and raving about the evils of Mattel. I just did what Duvall told me to do, man. The guy was on his deathbed. What was I supposed to do? It's like, nah, screw him.
I live now. I live.
I know.
I survived.
You got better, but right. We didn't know.
Oh, Mike.
That would have been an unfitting tribute to you to ignore your final request.
Right?
Right, I know.
That's sad.
That's the kind of thing that a person who just stuffs himself full of French bread pizza the second before we record a show would do.
Mike's going to be so pissed off when he listens to this. Oh, shit. Well, damn, if we can't poke fun at you, Mike, who can we poke fun at? It's all out of love.
Yeah, and hey, we post the response, so
that's right.
We give you equal time.
Here's some of the things Dave says to me in text messages.
Okay.
You talk about being mean.
Probably, but
you told me that.
I don't remember actually slamming Mike in any text message. I've said some pretty horrible things about other people.
You told me in a text that it was hard enough to keep both me and your dog alive.
It is. You both like. Hey, look, mushrooms. I wonder if they're poisonous. Let's eat them and find out. Hey, look, an animal in our yard. Oh, I didn't even talk about the freaking possum attack.
Yeah, possum.
I was attacked by a possum.
Possum!
My dog's like, hey, maybe that's rabid. Let's go find out.
Neat.
Let me just slip out of my collar.
That's always fun. You're like, oh
my God, I got a vermin in my yard.
We had a possum out back here that the cats were chasing that I thought was pretty funny. because it would run from the cats, and the cats would just stalk it. And I was standing outside watching this, waiting for the cats to get too close, thinking, I'm going to have to go kick this possum in the fucking face. Like, I'm just straight up going to have to kick this possum in the face. I'm just going to have to do it. And then it jumped the fence, and I'm like, oh, thank God.
I broke out the hose.
Did you?
Yeah, and it wouldn't leave the yard. It would just, like, run back and forth like a freaking carnival game. It did not want to go. So I was like, oh, come on, seriously?
Reminds me of the bear in the old Atari carnival arcade game.
Yeah, exactly.
Pa-ching! Dook-dook-dook-dook, pa-ching! Dook-dook-dook-dook, pa-ching! Dook-dook-dook-dook, pa-ching! Dook-dook-dook-dook.
All right, so first question.
Okay.
Comes from our pal Star Joe Chuck.
Okay.
Says, because I know that Mike was complaining that all we ever do is ask the same question over and over again, just with a different wording. So right. I have a question for you guys. What would you think of a 6-inch Star Wars line or a 6-inch G.I. Joe line? Would you pick them up? I know Dave really likes the 3¾-inch figures. Would you get into a 6-inch Star Wars line? This would mean you would have to start over again at the beginning collecting the line. I hate to say it, but I would buy them. I would stick with figures from A New Hope, Empire, and Jedi only. Now, I don't think I've ever mentioned this before on this podcast, but I would, in fact, actually love the idea of them changing the scale, because it would mean that my time buying Star Wars toys had finally and blissfully
come
to an end. Although, as I think... Well, see, I don't even know what counts as before the show anymore, because I got, like, ambushed.
Right.
I could have been eating French bread pizza.
That's true.
And you just hit record like a madman.
I know, right?
But if they did Bosk, I would buy Bosk.
Right. Han Solo.
If they did the cards, like vintage cards, there are certain figures I would buy because I love just his artwork.
Yeah, yeah.
I love some of those vintage cards. Right, Han Solo, the original Han Solo card where he's standing there under the Falcon with the gun up.
Yes.
I love that image. It's weird. There are images that I love just from the toys, from the packaging of the toys.
Right.
That for me are very, when I think of the character, that's the image I think of, you know?
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird, but that really is how that works in my head. Joe, again, I wouldn't start over from scratch. I'd get like the Baroness, I'd get the Viper, I'd get like my, you know, it's sort of like any scale other than 3¾-inch sort of is similar to like my buying pattern for like Sideshow, where there are like 3 or 4 characters that I'll get.
Right.
Because I love those characters.
Right.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
Again, if they... Because I didn't get any. The only Sigma 6 figures I have, I've bought. Yeah, I know. Yeehaw! My Southern roots finally come through. I've picked up at sales after the fact, like for dirt cheap.
Right.
Because at the time I was like, you know, it's a different scale and I'm not interested. And... so forth.
Which makes sense. I don't think I would... I mean, I don't buy either of those lines now, so yeah. I definitely wouldn't be buying them. I mean, I bought, you know, like the Zombie Viper and a couple of the Dollar General
Zombie
shows.
Viper's cool, though. I mean, this is just a cool zombie figure, period.
I've seen a couple of, like, the deleted scenes... the deleted scenes Leia and the... who else was in those deleted scenes?
Lando.
The Lando and the Leia, I almost bought at one time because they were just really cool looking figures.
I did buy the Luke basically because the card art was cool.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just, you know, Star Wars is something I just don't get into. I mean, I love the vintage stuff. I think it's an amazing line, but it's like...
a monster.
I can't get into collecting it. G.I. Joe's the same way, but there's certain things in the vintage G.I. Joe line I would love to have. I have some G.I. Joe stuff downstairs, but it's just not a line I... even begin to think that I could focus on, because it's like, holy crap, you know.
Yeah.
If I was given an ultimatum to focus.
Ultimatum
to focus.
Are we even for Broughton?
Yes. If I had to be given an ultimatum to focus on one line, which somebody asked Carrie and I if she would rather I focus on one line or is it just too far gone with my collecting habits? But if I was basically given the ultimatum that you need to focus on a line, I would probably focus on vintage G.I. Joe.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
Because
I would have thought, like, Transformers.
No, because the G.I. Joe stuff I had so much of when I was a kid, and it all got destroyed and ruined that there is... I mean, when I go over to your house, that's the stuff I look at the most, because I still to this day love that. I love the playsets, I love the vehicles, I love the characters, but it's just not a line that right now I actively would even begin to buy.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
So let's scroll up a little bit and... Oh, God.
Oz is...
Get our reading glasses
basically
on.
Basically,
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Basically, there's a new Power Rangers show right now. And it reached its 35th year last year. So it's been on the air. The Power Rangers, in one form or another, have been on 35 years. They created Kaizuko Sentai Gokanker.
That must mean in Japan. That can't be.
Right. It's not here.
Okay.
Which is its 35th anniversary.
And I didn't mean the name. I meant the fact it's been on 35 years.
Right. And basically, this iteration of the Rangers are a group of teens. They're time-traveling pirates, and they can go to any period in the Super Sentai history, and they literally hijack the team's powers, weapons, and Zords. So basically, they are giving, you know, a 35 years worth of history in this one show. They're showing every iteration of Power Rangers because these pirates are having to go back in time and use these weapons and stuff.
Okay.
And the reason that Oz is so upset is that Saban and Bandai America aren't going to bring that show. He says it had the beat set. Toei, for the first time ever, actually filmed alternate footage that could have been used when the series was imported to the States under Saban for Power Rangers 20th anniversary beginning next year. The legendary war that kicks off the storyline involves most of the previous teams all being killed off in battle. But to American audience, there's at least 15 teams we simply wouldn't recognize. So Toei filmed around that with alternate takes so we wouldn't be confused. Also, there's still unconfirmed rumors that Toei requested the Alpha 5 suit to be sent to them by Saban for use in filming. And of course, Alpha 5 was an American creation, not a Japanese creation.
Obviously.
But they, Saban and Bandai did their research, and apparently the target audience they claimed was tweens and teens, and found that the show tested poorly among the female viewers. So basically their official stance on this was teen girls don't like pirates. So they're not going to bring this iteration over to celebrate the anniversary of Power Rangers, which probably would have been a really good idea.
Okay. Like, I'm pretty sure teen girls were probably, I'm no expert on this, but probably a pretty big audience for the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's more that the target audience just doesn't give a crap about 35 years worth of history of something. I mean, when you're a teenager, and you know, when you're a kid and a teenager, you really don't give a crap about scope, about history.
Right.
You're focused on your time, and that's the only time that exists. So a show that celebrates, you know, all these different, because the kids that are watching that aren't going to know who these people are. They're not going to care. They're not going to have the investment. They might know like the last iteration. You know, the one that was on Nickelodeon, and care about that. That's about it. Maybe the one before that.
Right.
And that's why that tested badly. It's not the girls don't like pirates. That's just dopey. But, you know, I mean, obviously there's a larger... See, here's the problem. Yeah, there's a big audience of guys in their 20s and 30s who grew up with Power Rangers who would love this show. Most of them don't buy toys.
Right.
And in fact, yeah, maybe they'll buy the Power Ranger toys, but you got to advertise something else on the show.
Right.
This is a problem that Nickelodeon has had for years, maybe going back as far as Ren and Stimpy even, where they have these shows that are huge hits.
Right.
With, you know, college kids. Ren and Stimpy, we watched that religiously.
Yes, it was a huge hit.
But we weren't buying whatever, you know, Nerf gun or Barbie doll they were selling on the show.
Right.
You know, Avatar had the same problem. Avatar was supposed to be a boy show, and it was, like, huge with tween girls.
Right.
Like, ridiculous, but they didn't buy, you know, G.I. Joe or whatever they were, you know.
Yeah.
They didn't, you know, they keep getting these shows that don't hit the target demographic. Remember, the way Nickelodeon makes its money on this is they sell advertising to companies, and, you know, the people watching the show aren't their demographic.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, like, you know, if they really wanted to do it, the smart move, my guess, my theory, my thinking would be that if you really wanted to do it, sell them as a DVD set, you know, because I bet collectors would buy the hell out of it.
Oh, yeah.
And fans would, and I think even casual fans would probably be interested enough
that
some of them would pick that set up.
I mean, they're pretty much proven that with the Time Life series, because they're releasing the first seven seasons. Through Time Life in one huge collection, and it's selling, you know, it's pre-sold really well. So, even for the price, because I think it's upwards of like $275 is the price for that set. And, you know, people are buying a lot of it, but...
Or get it somewhere obscure like the Hub, where the advertising can't be that demanding to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, I get how Oz is upset, because it does sound like a cool thing. I haven't actually gone to look a lot, you know, look up a lot of it at all.
I can be upset that you're missing out on a thing that you really want to see, but I mean, there are business, you know, and the explanation is kind of weak. But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's not your money that's being spent. You know, right. it's their money, and
they it's don't their want... you know their Bandai owns the rights, you know, in the States along with Saban, and that's I think that if Saban was still owned by Disney, that they would have.
I'm sure Disney would have found a way. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but of course Disney sold off Saban. I don't know if Saban bought it back or what it is, but I know at one point
I think they did buy it back actually. Yeah.
Because I know at one point Power Rangers was owned by Disney, and that's the reason why they're able to release these on DVD finally, that I understand, is because they were able to ascertain all the rights back.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I feel bad. It sounded like a cool idea and a cool show, but again...
It'll get here one way or the other. You'll see it eventually one way or the other.
Yeah. Somehow.
Power Rangers is too big for you not to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people are already pirating it on YouTube. And yeah, exactly. Fan subbing it and everything, so, you know.
They'll want to, like, get a piece of that money.
Yeah. Bo Spears has tweeted this, but the suggestion of a board member here I'm posting as a question. Why do some people despise Schumacher's Adventures of Batman and Robin on one hand, but love the Adam West Batman on the other, considering that in both cases, the on-screen predecessors were far more serious and respectful of the material? The difference is...
First of all, there's no such film as Adventures of Batman and Robin.
It's just Batman. Well, I think it was called that overseas. Mm-hmm. Was it just called Batman and Robin overseas,
nope.
too?
The only difference was whether it was an ampersand or an and. Somebody was on IMDb last night.
Aha. here's the thing, is that when the Adam West Batman series premiered in the 60s, it was a huge, huge success.
The first season was a huge hit.
And it went 3 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And kids loved that show. And that show reflected the state of the comics in that era.
To a degree. The comics also changed to reflect that show.
Too. Right. But that show in that iteration of Batman is so beloved because it was so campy. And it never took itself serious. Really.
Well, the thing is, but it did it with a serious face.
Yes.
Like, the whole difference is it took everything very seriously, actually. I disagree. It took everything very... I mean, it was ridiculous. And it knew it was... Like, the writers knew it was ridiculous, and they went as ridiculous as possible, but everything was played absolutely straight.
Right.
I mean, Adam West was like, you know, oh, a giant... You know, I mean, played it absolutely straight.
Right.
And that was the appeal. The Schumacher went... the other way around, so that it's all a big joke. It's just silly. It's just bad. He's got a credit card. Yeah. Hey, Mr. Freeze, make some more puns. And of course, my original one word answer to this question was nipples.
Yeah.
You know, because it's rubber suits, it's fetishy, so we'll put nipples and make the sexuality overt.
What really happened with Batman and Robin is the fact that Tim Burton didn't produce that fourth film. He produced. He directed the second one, the first two, and then he executive produced the third one, so he was still on board, which means Schumacher was actually reined in a lot.
A little bit, yeah.
And then on Batman and Robin, Warner Brothers was like, it's your movie, do whatever you want. Yeah. And Schumacher was able to do exactly what he wanted, which is to be as overtly...
Well, it's contemptuous. I mean, there was a real contempt for the material.
Yeah. I honestly believe that there are no shining moments in that film.
I can't think of
Bane. Bane was a horribly misused character. A lot of people.
See, that was another thing I was going to bring up, is that there are some people. I'm not a big fan of Bane, but at the time he was big and he had a lot of fans.
Yeah.
And he was just like just ruined.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just a joke.
Poison Ivy was horrible.
Poison Ivy was okay. I mean, she was like probably the least ruined of the whole thing. And I'm pretty sure I talked on the special. French Bread Pizza podcast about my undying love of Heart of Ice, and how Schumacher basically just squatted over that and took a big ass dump.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, when they cast Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
It's like, no, you just got. I mean, it was completely
difference when you had Tommy Lee Jones and Jim Carrey.
Yeah, which, I mean, even then that was kind of understandable, but just like they just miscast Freeze, and that told you that it was not going to be, you know, that they just it just that the whole thing had a contempt
because
for the
material. Here with Freeze is this very very sympathetic villain. I mean, he's
very cerebral too. Yes. He's a guy in a suit. I mean, he's a Patrick Stewart. He's a John Hurt.
Yes.
He's a not John Hurt. William Hurt.
Yeah.
He's a guy in a suit. Arnold is a physical specimen, especially back then.
Yeah.
He was still kind of in his you know the later years of his prime.
Right.
He's a big muscular guy. I mean, he's Bane. He's not a scientist. It's like when they cast Denise Richards as a nuclear scientist in one of the Bond films.
Oh God, yes.
You know, and you're like, you don't buy that he's a brilliant scientist. Then you couple that with the actual story of him and his wife, and he doesn't sell it. He doesn't have the emotional range to sell that story. And it's just because it was a joke. It was a joke. It was Arnold making puns about ice through the whole film.
Chill out.
What killed the dinosaurs?
You know, it was a joke. And that's the thing is the
60s series was a joke too, but it was a joke with it's like the old saying about laughing with and laughing at.
Right.
You know. The 60 series was laughing with the material. It was like, you know, because the way that started was that they had the old black and white serials, and they were showing that at the Playboy Mansion.
Yes.
And people were watching it and having a great time, and some TV producer got the idea, hey, let's make that into a TV show.
Yeah.
But it was always played straight. It was always played. There was a respect for it, even though it was silly.
Yeah,
That's one of the reasons that I love Batman: Brave and the Bold.
Yes,
is there's a they know it's silly,
but they respect
that doesn't
the
mean
material.
That it's not. They don't respect it,
and they really, really well respected the material in that because there's a lot of good stuff in that show.
Yeah,
I mean that whole show is amazing.
And for the record, not everyone loves the old 60s TV show. I mean, I have a lot of friends who hate you know, as much as they hate Batman and Robin because it's silly,
campy,
it's goofy, it's campy. You know, so it's you know, there's no one universal, and you know, we know people who like Batman and Robin. So you know, it just wasn't a good film. Schumacher just ran out of control. I don't think he had respect for material. I think that what it boils down to is I don't think it was the epitome of a guy going, I'm making a comic book movie, so I'm just gonna be wacky and
yeah,
silly.
Exactly.
And you know, obviously you can argue. I know there are a lot of people who, believe it or not, there are people who do not like the Nolan films.
Yeah, which is
because they think it's too serious. They think, you know, come on, it's Batman.
Yeah,
lighten
like
up
it's
a little.
Based more in reality, and they're like, we don't want to see the reality. We want to see the fantasy.
No, but they're like, come on, get a stick out of your butt. It's Batman. It should be fun. It should be, you know, it should be at least be lighter.
Right.
And that's actually, you know, I like the Nolan films. I really do. But that is one of my concerns with them. I think part of the reason I don't love them is because they're not fun.
Right.
I've always said I like the 89 Batman film. I think that hit the right tone. I love the Denny Tim animated series because that hit the perfect note of silly adventure, fun, respect, love of the character, well written. It's just the gold standard for Batman.
Yeah.
Because they got every element right.
Yeah.
So,
which is kind of cool because I've been listening. There's a new over at Smodcast Internet Radio. Kevin Smith is doing a new show called Fat Man on Batman.
Yeah.
And the first four episodes have been amazing because the first episode was Paul Dini.
Cool.
The second and third episode was a two-parter with Mark Hamill.
Neat.
And this last episode was with Tara Strong, who did the voice of Batgirl and did Harley in the newest
Arkham City.
Yeah. And just the gushing amount of love for that animated series in just the first four episodes. I mean, they haven't even really hit comic book stuff yet. They've just been literally talking about the animated stuff, and it's just amazing. It's like
It is the gold standard. I mean, like Mr. Freeze was a non-entity before
the animated series.
Before the anime, I mean, he existed, but like the last time he showed up in the comics, because I have that issue, he shows up and Joker kills him. Joker calls him Captain Cold, like to diss him, and then kills him.
Yeah,
and that's it for Mr. Freeze because Mr. Freeze was one of those characters kind of who carried over from the 60s series, you know, as Captain Mr. Cold.
Yeah.
That nobody took seriously. Nobody cared about. That's one of the things about that show is that they redeemed so many characters, like Clayface they brought back.
Yes.
Clock King they made like really, there's like a great Clock King episode.
Yeah.
And he was a joke. He was Justice League Antarctica. He was like the loser group. You know, I mean, it's amazing that they redefined, and obviously Harley and Renee Montoya came from the show into the comics.
Yeah.
And Renee is now, you know, the Question, and Harley's beloved fan favorite.
Yeah, exactly. So, crazy stuff. Horatio asks, are action figures based on cartoons a dying breed, or at least fated to come and go in a matter of months, just like movie lines seem to be? Will we ever get another tie-in action figure line that lasts as long as something like Ben 10 that lasts for years, or is it a thing of the past? And with that in mind, what would you say the odds are that the new Turtle line makes it past 8 years?
You know, the real question is, are we going to get a cartoon that lasts?
Yeah.
I mean, Ben 10 has lasted so long because the cartoons lasted so long. I mean, you go to the end cap of Toys R Us.
Through four different iterations.
Yeah, through multiple variations. You know, like there's like an end cap of Secret Saturday stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
That show didn't last long. Like,
no.
I mean, Generator Rex.
Generator Rex. Yeah. You know, there's all the shows themselves don't have the staying power.
No.
And I think that's part of the equation.
But you have to be something special like Ben 10, like My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, you know?
Well, we'll see. They just had their first season. We'll see.
My Little Pony?
Oh, that's like huge, though, isn't it?
Yeah, they're going on... This is the end of their second season.
Well, okay. I don't keep up with the hub. No, it's, you know, it's like channel 942.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't have time to go through the whole...
I think the way the 80s worked, I think that's a thing. That's a much...
Well, and then there's completely different. I mean, it's a completely different era. I mean, the toys and the shows were... I mean, the shows were designed for the toys.
Right.
A lot of them. I mean, there are very few... Point to a toy line that organically came from the show, that the show came first.
Right.
I don't even know if I could do it. I'm sure someone can. But, you know, you look at all the things that we were talking about. G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask... And Humanoids, Masters of the Universe, you know, She-Ra, they were all toy-based things. I mean, you know, maybe Real Ghostbusters? I mean, I know it had a toy line.
It did.
But maybe that was like a legitimate spin-off from Ghostbusters. And
it was based on the cartoon show. There was never anything based on the film.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, did the toys come first and then they did the show for
the
toy?
No, the show and the toys came out about the same time.
So, you know, but the point being, there was a synergy there that's not existent now. And part of that's because cartoons themselves, you know.
There's no Saturday morning TV anymore.
There's no Saturday morning TV, and just shows don't last. I mean, I always talk about how Cartoon Network's a place where good shows go to die.
Like Thundercats just went through its second season, and they're like, we're not bringing it back. And there's tons of petitions to bring that show back, and it's just not going to happen.
You know, Batman Brave and the Bold, like season 3 just came out on DVD, and my first response was,
There was a season 3? Yeah.
There was a season 2? I mean, I knew there was a season 2, and I caught like maybe 5 episodes.
Yeah.
But like, there was a season 3?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just... you know, and there are a few successful shows out there. There's Phineas and Ferb, which sort of has a sort of half-assed action figure line.
Yeah.
There's Adventure Time, which is really big.
Yeah.
And it's got a little half-assed
action
toy line. But,
right.
I mean, I think that almost kind of reflects the fact that the toys came second in those, and they're not as, you know...
Right.
Not as good.
Right.
So I think it's going to be rare... that you find that kind of synergy. And you know, it could also be... Because it also takes a certain kind of show to generate an action figure line. I mean, it's got to be like a Ben 10. It's got to be an action adventure. You know, Secret Saturday, Generator X, except those failed. So, you know, because Adventure Time's kind of a weird thing, and it doesn't really, you know... Phineas and Ferb is not really an action figure show.
Right.
You know? I mean, it's neat to have them, but, you know, there's not that action kind of...
They don't translate well into toys.
Yeah.
As for the Turtles line making it a year,
I think
I
don't know.
The collector base is big enough that it might survive into year two. I think the Classics line, it depends on how long they do that Turtles Classics line, but we'll see. I mean, we'll wait and see. I mean,
we'll wait and see. Look, here's the thing. When they announced Thundercats, people went out of their fucking minds. And I honestly thought, I knew it was Bandai. When I heard it was Bandai, I kind of thought maybe that there would be a problem. But I really thought it would do better than it did.
Yeah, and it just...
I mean, and I actually thought it wouldn't do that great. But because it was Bandai, because it was Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
That's a bad 1-2 punch. Yeah. But I still thought the love that the fans had would be enough.
So I mean, if the cartoon's good and Playmates does a good job, I think
yeah.
Turtles will coast pretty easily.
Yeah,
because I actually think they kind of actively screwed over Thundercats, like to kill that off. Because the show is really good. Like,
yeah,
I've actually been catching episodes on Cartoon Network in the morning, you know, on Saturday mornings.
Yeah,
it's actually really
it's a good
show.
Oz asks. Actually, there's an actual question from Oz.
Hey.
In regards to Duvall's awesome Jetfire find, a guidebook was mentioned. I'm wondering what are the absolute best books to have. I hate being somewhere like at a flea market or worse at the toy store where I pitch in and I'm put on the spot and forced to go based on memory. If I don't have immediate internet access at the moment, carrying a knapsack with a few guides in them would be helpful. I have a fair Transformers guide, but it's far from perfect. It's outdated, doesn't cover the lines in their entirety, and anything pictured boxed is never pictured loose. Trying to match up which guns go to which member of Devastator 2 weeks ago was hell because the pictures show no close-ups of the weapons, only mid-ground shots, and each bot holding the respective blaster in a lineup. So what's the absolute best visual guidebook for Transformers, but also for G.I. Joe? I know it may be asking a lot, but Dave will flip when I say this, that I'm essentially waiting for a Joe guidebook that is as close to one I can get a physically printed version of YoJo.com. Aside from these toy lines, is there books that cover other lines in great detail, such as Thundercats, Visionary Centurions, Turtles, Star Wars, etc., etc., etc.?
I don't think there are any books for Star Wars, because it's not very popular.
I would say there's a whole shit ton of them that for Star Wars. It's
really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Neat. You want to do the Transformer one first, or because
go ahead and do the Joe
said the Joe stuff, Oz, there are literally books that are exactly what you're asking for. For the vintage line, there's a book called The Ultimate Guide to G.I. Joe, 1982 to 1994, by Mark Bellomo, who's actually going to be at JoeCon. I may be pronouncing his name wrong. Sadly, he's doing autographs the day I'm leaving.
Figures.
But he also did the 80s toy book that we talked about a couple weeks ago. And it's a little better on the earlier ones. Then the later ones, he kind of rushes through like the last couple of years. But there's pictures of every figure. There's pictures of the accessories. With the vehicles, they talk about the pieces that are most likely to be missing. And it goes year by year. This is an excellent book. This is kind of my G.I. Joe Bible. And then I had mentioned a while ago at the last King County that I went to, whenever I would do a disorder battle, I would always get screwed over because there's a period of time between the vintage line and the 25th anniversary that I just didn't pay much attention to.
The Real American Hero collection stuff?
Yeah, the second, what they call the second generation. And there was a book there that covers it. This guy was selling it. I don't know. I think he was just selling his own book, but it's called A Guide to Second Generation O-Ring G.I. Joe Action Figures by James M. Cavanaugh with a K. Junior, and again, it is an excellent, like, from the end of vintage to the beginning of 25th, and it even includes the first couple of JoeCon exclusives.
Yeah,
and includes Build the Rule. I mean, it's just it's the perfect supplement to the vintage guide. And I heartily, if you want to do G.I. Joe and you want to collect and you need these books on hand because you can't get Yo-Jo on the thing, these are the books to have.
Right.
Star Wars, I don't know the name offhand, but I mean, Steve Sansweet always does a good collector guide. I think there's one specifically for the figures, and then there's like several collector guides out there. The problem with Star Wars is vintage is fine because it's done with.
Yeah.
The new stuff, you know, it's never going to be. There's always something new coming out. And then I was going to say, you know, another book that you and I both make a lot of use out of. It's not perfect for finding parts and stuff, but just for reference, are the Tomarts.
The Tomarts action
figure. The three-volume Tomarts action figure guide.
Yeah. Because it shows just about every 80s line.
There was.
From the late 70s to early 80s that there was.
And even some 90s.
Yeah, even some 90s. Pretty much they show packaged versions of most of them. They give you an idea of what the lines are. I mean, every line has at least a photo representation of one of the pieces out of the line. So it's very, very good to find stuff. There's a couple of good Transformer ones. There's the unofficial guide to Transformers book from 1980s to 1990s, which I actually have this. Who is the author on this?
I think I have that too, and I don't think it's that good.
J.C. Alvarez. It's got some good stuff in it. There's another one by Mark Bellomo. who actually does a Transformers identification price guide book, which is really good.
Yeah, if that's like the Joe book, that would be an excellent one to get.
Yeah,
he's probably a name if you're a collector you want to look for.
Yeah, I would say he does a lot of good stuff. And then there is, what is this? There was a series of books from Antarctic Press, which was the Cybertronian, the unofficial Transformers recognition guide, and it was a series of books. There's six volumes, a Beast Wars volume, and an index. They were printed in 2001 to 2002. They're all out of print, and they're hard as shit to find. But if you find them, they cover every Transformer up through Beast Wars. So all the vintage stuff up through Beast Wars. They show all the pieces. They show everything the figures came with. They show variants of what the figure might have come with. They show some of the stuff the original Japanese figures came with, just to give you an idea.
Sweet.
Those are the best, literally the best... books for Transformers, because it does show every piece of every figure ever made up through Beast Wars. So I think I've got all the way up through volume 4. I don't think I ever bought volume 5, because volume 5 is Pretenders, Micromasters, and Action Masters, which I was just like, nah. And then volume 6 is series 1 through 3 of Generation 2. And then, of course, Beast Wars goes through the first two series of Beast Wars. So those are great books. Just look up Transformers, Antarctic Press. I don't know if anyone's actually selling any of them. There's a couple on Amazon, it looks like, right now. But, yeah, they're expensive.
Wow.
Yeah, since they're so out of print, just the unofficial Transformers Guide Volume 2 is the two on here they want $300 for. And those are used. So, those are hard to find. And I bought them when they were new, and they were expensive. I mean, like, these might be the Japanese ones. They were like $30 a piece. And they're just literally, you can still find some of them for cheap. BarnesandNoble.com actually has volume 3 for $16.62. So, and then it just goes up in price. So, they are still out there. There's quite a few good options. Just kind of do your homework and poke around, especially the ones Dave and I recommended. Those are the best ones for the major lines. I don't think there's a Masters of the Universe one that I've seen. I don't think there is. I've never seen one that I'm aware of. I know there's a My Little Pony one if anyone's interested, because I have it.
Because you have it, yeah.
That's right. Well, it looks like there was one. I did Master Universe unofficial identification and price guide. It looks like it's an ebook. You can buy it on lulu.com for $9.99. Looks like it's
ebook.
Yeah, it's an ebook, which means you download it.
One good electromagnetic pulse and you're screwed.
Well, technically, yes. I was hoping to get a... here we go.
Picture from the inside.
Yeah, let's see if we can see what the inside looks like. They show you the card, but the ebook shows you the card backs and all the weapons the figure came with. Some of the pictures aren't that great, but it does give you an idea of what all the figures did come with. So, that's not a bad deal. I think it's $10 for an ebook. Something you could probably buy on your phone if you have a smartphone. Download it to your smartphone since it's a PDF format.
Yeah.
And that way you've got a lot of this stuff is actually available in PDF format. Some of these books are. So if you do your homework and search around, you'll find these in PDF formats that you can buy and download from like the Kindle bookstore. Like you can download on your smartphones or any of those type of ebook stores that you can download. You'll find a lot of these books as ebooks, which is kind of cool. But they're like $20-$25. But you can have them on your phone. They're right at your fingertips. You can skip through them. So, kind of neat.
Witchcraft.
Mike Lacey, MLacey91, says, hey, guys, heard this on another show and was interested in your take. Select your dream team of from 80s cartoon heroes. You can select five heroes to comprise your team. No two can come from the same show. One vehicle. The vehicle cannot come from any of the shows, from the show of any selected heroes, in a base of operations, which cannot come from any of the... Mike.
You know, I saw that. I would definitely probably pick Grayskull for the base.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't like any of the characters. So
fair enough.
Vehicle? I don't know about vehicle, because then you get into, like, you know, obviously I'm going to pick a G.I. Joe. So but that rolls out all the cool vehicles.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably some mask vehicle for the... Those are cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dude, I don't know. I mean, you got to pick Snake Eyes because he's just going to kick so much ass.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
How can you?
True.
How can you not? I assume this is a good guy team. Well, then Grimlock. Hell yeah. Snake Eyes, Grimlock. Well, I mean, you know.
Stumping Dave.
Oh, and someone's not even bothering to try to respond to the question.
I was waiting for you to be done.
Well, jump right in, because it may take a while, Spunky.
Boulder Hill for the base. The GoBots Command Center for the vehicle, because it's technically a vehicle.
Technically a vehicle.
Optimus Prime.
Yeah,
I
considered him.
Snake Eyes. Augur.
Really?
Yep. I like Augur.
Okay. Good for you. You're the one.
1, 2, 3. Adam Power from Power Lords.
Okay.
And for my fifth character, it would have to be Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Really?
Well, you need somebody small.
I guess. I'm thinking maybe Peter Venkman.
Okay.
So I'm down two characters left. And a vehicle. Dude. Well, technically, Secret Wars was an 80s toy line, so I'm going to go Wolverine.
Fair enough.
Hell yeah. Cheers. GoBot Command Center, I think, is clever, but you already called it. I'm not going to pick Augur.
Aw.
No. Oh, God. And everything grinds to a halt. Oh, man. Kind of wish we had that 80s book sitting out in front of us. Chitara.
Yeah.
Just gonna need a check.
That's right.
Please tell me that's 5.
I think that's 5.
All right. There and then, go. I don't know, some random mask related vehicle. Didn't they have a truck? The truck.
Yes, they had the Rhino.
Rhino, yeah, that I love that. That's such a great truck.
Fair enough.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to change that because my Steel Monster stuff. I'm going to take the dump truck with the guns on it.
There you go. Oz comes back with another question. Says, I got the Filmation Ghostbusters Volume 1 DVD recently and have had a blast watching these episodes today for the first time in forever. The show itself has gotten a lot of flack from people who are fans of the other more well-known and successful Ghostbusters franchise. And it always struck me as messed up, very similar to the Star Wars fandom's hatred of Ewoks and all things prequel.
I like Ewoks.
I do too. When I was a kid, I was okay with two Ghostbuster properties coexisting. I always had the impression as a kid that they're supposed to be two of everything. There's Transformers and there's GoBots. There's Hot Wheels and there's Matchbox. There's G.I. Joe and there's the core. We see this trend continue today with things like Barbies vs. Bratz, Legos vs. Mega Bloks. I guess the idea of competition not being a sin and instead being fun and playful just made sense to me. So is there something wrong with me still thinking that 25 years later, for other people, it's turned into a game of black-hearted hatred and contempt? Is this also, if the Filmation show is such shit, and there's no fan base and no one cares, why are the toys so friggin' expensive? You know, because if not, then I should be able to win these auctions with the opening bid, because allegedly no one cares. Also, care to comment on the ridiculousness of calling a ripoff an original and an original a ripoff? Filmation Ghostbusters and GoBots both have that tragedy in common. The live-action Filmation Ghostbusters predates the Murray Ramis Aykroyd film by almost a decade, and they not only took the name, but some of the equipment from the show as well, and I won't even mention the Huey Lewis debacle, while GoBots were around a full year before Transformers and featured the basic same plots blah, blah, blah. You know, basically, what the hell's up with that? It'd be like a Star Wars fan saying that Flash Gordon conquers the universe is ripping on Lucas. I've noticed the same venomous vitriol aimed at Vehicle Voltron simply because it's not Lionel Voltron. Even though it's Voltron 1, Lion Force is technically the third one. And if it wasn't for World Event Productions mailing you the wrong tape, the world would have been exposed to Vehicle Voltron first as originally intended. And they said, one last question, since Mattel's Filmation rights, would you like to see Ghostbusters figures of Filmation basically as a Comic-Con exclusive box set of the main characters done in laminated, done in animated style similar to the JLU? The problem with the Filmation Ghostbusters shit is that the reason it's so expensive is that Shape or the company that released them, that stuff is literally rare.
Yeah.
There is a lot of rare stuff, but that there is no other toy line that everything in that line is rare. It is hard to find much of that in any complete form whatsoever. The Ghost Buggy, the Ghost Command Center, the Time Troller, the Bone Troller, a lot of that stuff, literally, you could only find it at Toys R Us, and Toys R Us didn't carry hardly any of it. And the stuff they did sell broke.
Yeah,
I had a buddy who had the Ghost Buggy when we were kids, and I can't tell you, it was broke. It literally did not hold up. The plastic was cheap. It literally was fragile. And that's the problem with a lot of that line, is that Shaper was not necessarily known as a action figure toy company. So that's part of the reason why those toys are so ridiculously expensive on the second market now.
Well, I think that's a big part, because, you know, as I was saying, if I'm the only one who cares, well, here's the thing. If there are like maybe three or four of you out of, you know, what is it, 600 million Americans or something? 300 million Americans?
Yes.
There's only three or four of you, but there's only one Ghost Buggy.
You're right, right.
You know, it's going to be an ugly bidding war.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I only see those go up on eBay once in a while. Rarely in box, usually complete loose, and then by the time the auction's done, you're talking $700-$800 for a loose piece.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are guys that are like just toy collectors.
Right.
Like, just toy, you know, because we've talked about you with how you just love, you know, toys of the 80s.
Right.
You know, and that you're not necessarily, like, particularly attached to a specific, you know, line. Well, I'm sure there are guys like you that operate, you know, on a whole other level.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and it's just like, ah, yes, a Ghost Buggy. I don't have one of those for the collection.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and they got the money to do it. You know, it's not that they love Ghostbusters. It's just, it's a rare toy.
Right.
And therefore it gets, you know, thrown on the pile. As for the whole idea of, like, you know, A and B and competition, the thing about competition, son, is by definition there's a winner and a loser.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, maybe GoBots came first, but when you get bought by the other guy,
eventually,
and then,
yeah,
like, just dumped and, you know, basically, like, never to be heard from again.
Well, that's not true. They got turned into play school lines.
You've lost. Well, if you get turned into a play school line, you get lost and humiliated.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and like the core, seriously, no, that's no competition to G.I. Joe.
Well, but
that was a knockoff.
Yeah,
that was a flat out knockoff.
But if you think about it, though, it's one of the only mildly successful knockoffs that still exists.
Oh, it's
to this
the most
day.
Successful knockoff.
Yeah,
and but it was flat out. It was flat out. Joe ended, and Laynard jumped in to fill the void.
Yeah,
Laynard.
I mean, basically, it was a Kmart line.
Yeah,
I mean, Kmart introduced that line to kind of have a cheap alternative to G.I. Joe so they could sell more toys. And then I don't know how it ended up at Walmart. I don't know if the company was just like, because I fully remember it only being in Kmart stores for the longest time.
Yeah. It was like that with Chap May. Like they had all the stuff for a long, long time, and then all of a sudden it was everywhere.
Yeah. And then you talk about, like, people talking about how Filmation is a ripoff of the messed up thing, and what people don't understand when they don't even do their research, their history, when they talk about stuff like that and get into arguments, is the fact that Aykroyd, Columbia Pictures, actually licensed the Ghostbusters name from Filmation so they could use that name because that was the name they wanted to go with. So they actually had to pay licensing fees to Filmation to
There was a lawsuit anyway.
There was a lawsuit. So they were able to use the Ghostbusters name in the film, but when it came to the animated series, they could not, so they had to go with the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And then Filmation, of course, was like already working on their animated version of the '70s show that starred Larry Storch.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there's a little
it's sort of like it's chasing its own tail, because the original, there was the original 70s show, and then Aykroyd,
which
was
only
actually
lasted like six episodes.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And keep in mind that of everyone talking and or listening to this podcast, I may well be the only person who actually watched it.
No, I have
when
some.
When it happened.
I have episodes on VHS downstairs somewhere.
So I mean, like actually on TV.
Yeah.
Back in the day, but Aykroyd was actually the Ghostbusters is actually based on a movie called Ghostbreakers.
Right.
With Bob Hope.
Yes.
And they, I don't know why they got so attached to the name, but... and let's face it, the Ghostbusters cartoon, the Filmation one, that was to cash in on the success of the name because of the movie.
Well, but Filmation was working on that. When the movie was getting done, Filmation had already started work on that animated series. So by the time the movie came out and they were planning the real Ghostbusters, the Filmation stuff was right there as well. To a point, I think it was to cash in. But again, I know that they were working on it beforehand when the lawsuit started, because that was the whole reason behind the lawsuit. Because they're like, we're working on an animated series called Ghostbusters. You know what the hell? So,
but then again, I mean, there was a winner and a loser in that one. I mean, how many seasons did the Filmation Ghostbusters run?
Two,
really?
Maybe.
And you know, the real Ghostbusters. I mean, they had like different shows on different networks.
Well, it went.
It had syndicated. It had syndicated, and then it had ABC.
The syndicated stuff was different, like different in tone, because the ABC stuff was all first run and kiddie. The syndicated stuff was much more darker in tone, and then you had Slimer and the real Ghostbusters stuff.
So again, you had a winner and a loser.
Yeah. So,
and you know,
kind of sad though, because the Filmation Ghostbusters show actually is a really fun show.
I don't remember it well enough to say one way or the other.
Yeah, I always liked it. I mean, I always thought it was just a really entertaining cartoon show. That was the one I believe it or not, I watched that more than I watched the real Ghostbusters. Some of the real Ghostbusters stuff I didn't see until I bought the DVD box set. So I watched Filmation Ghostbusters every day because it was on after school every day, whereas real Ghostbusters was only on here. It wasn't on syndication around here for some reason.
I saw the syndicated stuff.
I don't ever remember seeing the syndicated
stuff.
It
was KPLR.
Oh, that's probably why, because I never watched KPLR.
Ah, well, there you go.
Yeah, I always watched WGN.
That's what you get for being a racist.
Which WGN is what was airing Filmation Ghostbusters at the time.
Oh, well, there
you
go.
Yeah.
That's why they were always second rate.
Yeah, well.
That and the Cubs.
Oh. Jansen asks, good evening, gentlemen, and how you be? How ye be? How ye be? The
fine.
Two of you have mentioned that you both read comics at one time or another, and I was curious if each of you could give a brief synopsis of your comic origins and finales, basically what you were reading, what got you into them, and what got you out of them.
Watchmen, Dark Knight Returns, Year One.
Really?
And Killing Joke. We're like, because it was all in the... And then, actually, G.I. Joe. I was hanging out with this kid, and he had a collection of G.I. Joe comics.
Yeah.
And I was reading them, and I was like, this is really kind of cool. And then I heard about, like, Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns and all these sort of, you know. And that really sort of, like, that really blew my mind.
Right.
And so I bought another kid's comic book collection that had, like, a bunch of X-Men.
Yeah.
Which is where I got into X-Men. And, you know, I mean, I'd always loved the Hulk, so I started... I remember the first time I walked into the comic book store here, it was Metropolis Comics.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh, I literally was like just some sad goober going, whoa, oh, whoa. The first issue of Dark Horse's Aliens comic had just come out. And I was like, there's a comic for aliens.
Yeah.
This is the greatest thing ever. I'm such a goober. And, you know, sad thing is they had the Watchmen collected in floppies. And I could have bought it for like maybe $30.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh.
Yep.
But, so, yeah, I really sort of came in on a high note. And then we had a little something called the 1990s. With Nightfall and Death of Superman and Return of Superman. And it was the seeds for what we have now. And then all the variant covers.
Right.
And just one crossover event after another.
Yep.
And you're missing things. Like, I mean, I got every Batman comic book pulled. And I don't have the issue where Bruce Wayne gets his spine fixed. Because that was Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, crap like that. And so I left on the very end of the Nightfall thing, where he finally came back. And then for X-Men, it was Age of Apocalypse.
Yep.
And once that story got resolved, I kind of ended with X-Men. And then for a long time, I stuck with the Star Wars comic. Star Wars, but you know they kept adding title after title.
Yeah.
The thing about Dark Horse is they'd have like one great series to begin with, and then they just beat the concept into the ground.
Right. Me, it started with Power Pack in the 80s.
There you go.
Because I bought Power Pack like mad, because I loved, when I was a kid, I loved that. And I got out of comics for a little bit, and then when I started buying again was just before the death of Superman.
Ah.
So I got into comics again, real hardcore heavy, and bought some mainstream stuff, bought mostly a lot of independent stuff. So I had all the first stuff. I had all the first run Image stuff, and
yeah, I've got all the first run Image stuff.
I had all that stuff. I had Youngblood, Spawn, all that stuff. Wildcats, I had it all. And I read pretty heavy. I got into ElfQuest real hardcore. So I still have that. Like I had the entire run of every ElfQuest book ever made.
Cool.
I don't have all the magazine stuff because the original self-published Warp Graphic stuff is really hard to get. But I have all the reprinted Marvel stuff. I have all the collecteds. I have all the stuff that Warp did after their big comeback. You know. What got me out of collecting was Age of Apocalypse. When you sit down and count just how many issues that crossover really has.
Oh, I've got them all collected, and it's like three or four thick bags full of comics.
The fact that it spanned not only X Comics, but a lot of mainstream titles too. Captain America, or not Captain America, but like Fantastic Four, stuff like that. There were
Spider-Man,
like,
I'm pretty sure, had.
Yep. I was done.
Yeah.
Actually, I was almost done, and then Onslaught happened.
Oh, yeah.
And then after Onslaught, I was like, I'm done buying comics. I'm like, I can't do... I think Onslaught, when you break it down, was 62 different issues for that whole run, and that includes, you know, the Onslaught stuff went into... I just was like, I'm done. I can't do it.
Yeah, and that's... The sad thing is, that's the model, at least, that Marvel uses today. I mean, it's one event... It's like right now it's Avengers versus X-Men, and then they've already got the next event lined up. And
yeah,
they've got the next event. And it's just, you know, it's like, that's why Peter David originally quit X-Factor, which was one of my, the Peter David run on X-Factor is one of my,
favorite books.
It's not a grail, because I have them, but it's like, just one of those shining golden things, because it was such a great combination of material, you know, of material and writer. And he was, you know, he would get two issues and then have to jump into the next X-Men crossover.
Yeah.
And then he'd get to tell his story for like one issue and the next X-Men crossover. It's like that with the Hulk. Like I had a disc that had like every issue of the Hulk. And you get to the 80s and all of a sudden the story starts getting broken up.
Yeah.
You know, like ironically, during the period of time that's very famous for the Hulk being a Vegas bouncer, Joe Fixit.
Yeah.
There's very little of that story ever really told if you actually go back and read the comics, because he has to go, you know, I can't remember what it was, the one where like they mixed up everybody's arch enemy, so that, you know, like Magneto fought Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what that was called, but like Hulk had to be involved in that, and then he'd get back to Vegas, and then some other thing, and he'd have to go, Atlantis attacks, he had to go do that.
Yeah.
And you could just see that it was getting more and more chopped up, because it only did Hulk. Like, it only did the Hulk title, so
right.
You never saw, you know, what happened in the other comics.
Right.
But that's how it is now, and it's like, you know, you've got the crossovers, and then you've got the floppies, the regular stories that just feed into the crossovers, and then you've got Frontline, and then you've got, like, Scorecard, and, you know.
Right.
It's just, let the stories, and what's weird to me is, like, for me, the Avengers and Justice League should be the event comics.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that's, the Avengers are the Earth's most mightiest heroes. It's all the main characters coming together.
Yeah.
That should be, you know, I mean, it should have like one story that runs like a year, you know, 12 issues.
Yeah.
And I mean, but it resolves in comic time, it resolves quicker than that.
Right.
But like something calls them together to have a big thing, and that's the Avengers.
Yeah.
You know, that's the Justice League.
That's what it should be.
You know, I mean, that's what they're there for. You know, I mean.
Yeah, no, I agree. Comics upset me.
Another thing that kind of got me out of it was that the X-Men moved away from the whole thing about them being in a school
helping mutants. Yeah.
And they've only really just started. Well, they came back during the Morrison run.
Right.
But
yeah.
And then they moved away from it again, and now they're coming back to it with Wolverine and the X-Men.
Right.
Which looks like it's a really cool title, but again, it's sucked into X-Men versus Avengers.
Yeah. It's too much crap. And then the wrap-up question tonight, Sean, our good buddy Wheelor,
who
you're going to visit, says,
my host.
Since I'm Dave-sitting for you for a few days, are there any instructions on how to care for him? Well,
I'm like a gremlin. Make sure I'm fed
before
midnight.
Dear God, make sure he has food in his belly, because if not, you will have the grumpiest son of a bitch sitting next to you the entire time.
It is true.
It is very true. I've experienced it firsthand and just shaken my head at it and gone, really? Really?
I get low blood sugar and somebody has to die.
Yeah, pretty much. Make sure he gets plenty of rest.
That's also true.
Although,
when I'm at a con, I do sort of like go on adrenaline.
So, don't stop and talk to anyone about toys too long. Because Dave will be in mission mode and he will leave your ass in the chair.
Well, apparently Sean's like in mission mode too. Apparently we're going to be competing.
Okay, good.
So,
Other than that, have fun with him. Make sure you play with him. Make sure he gets his exercise. You know, normal stuff. That's about it.
All right. I
such a cute question.
As your closest thing to a celebrity you're ever going to have in your house, I do have to demand a big. Now, of course, this is going to air like after I'm already there, but big bowl of M&Ms,
right?
But only the blue and red ones.
Wow.
Only because my girlfriend's name is Cherry, so the red ones, and I just like the color blue. So gotta pick all the other ones out. That's what celebrities do. For some reason, they always demand like M&Ms of one color.
Are you taking a rider with you? Give him your rider so when you get there, he's got like certain bottled water.
And, I should.
Oh, Jesus. Mail him a rider tonight and go, this must be in my room.
This must be in my room.
Oh, Christ.
I got a trash up later before I leave.
Oh, God.
Throw a chair out the window.
Rock and roll forever! My head hurts now. Ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up another week of Dave and the Balls Toys and Collectibles. We'll be back next week with an all-new show. Next Monday, Dave will have tales to tell of JoeCon.
Hopefully. Hopefully there'll be a riot at the Hasbro panel.
Yes.
If not, perhaps we'll MSNBC that sucker and manufacture one.
There you go, gang. Make sure you check out our sponsor, the Crazy Kings of Toys, at www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Make sure you check them out. Support our sponsor, because by supporting them, you help us do this show every week for free and keep the good times rolling. So make sure you do that. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at Puppet Duvall. You can follow the website, Toy World Order, at Toy World Order. You can follow this show at Dave and Duvall. And then if you want to follow Dave, look for his ass on Facebook, because he don't tweet.
Nope.
And then, of course, sign up for the forums. It's absolutely free. You can join in the talk there. There's a great thread there for Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. Leave us questions, comments, concerns. Join in on the conversation and enjoy the fun of being a part of the order. So there you go, gang. So until next time.
Don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Toy bar's closed, people. Peace out.